When I was here in January and February, I felt the reception was somewhat frigid with those 2 to 3 feet of snow. But you've made up for it. The New York Times this morning had an article about Southern Californians wishing to be back east, that there hasn't been much sun in California this summer. We'll see what my wife thinks about that when she comes back on Thursday to join us for this next weekend. But it's great being with you again. And we've had these 3 weeks, a series on real questions. Last week we talked, is it really worth my time to study the Bible? Next week, can I really know the will of God? And today, does it really help to pray? Some time ago, a friend of mine in his 40s said, you know, I don't know why we need to pray. If God is sovereign, knows everything, knows what I need, knows what is best, why in the world do we have to take the time to remind him about those things? I'm not sure it's worth my while. Another friend, with a lot of questions and struggling with even the very existence of God, said, let's say perchance there is a God. That God would have to have much higher agenda items than my personal problems. I don't know that it would be worth wasting God's time for me to pray. At a more practical level for all of us, I know that there are some of you that have had a health issue you've prayed about for many months, maybe years. A marriage that has some issues that don't get resolved by prayer, at least don't appear to. Challenges in raising children, or perhaps substance abuse issues, or other addictive dynamics in your life, and you name it. We all have issues with us this morning, do we not? Does it really help to pray? We're told in the scriptures to pray without ceasing. Our whole lifestyles are to be lifestyles of prayer. And the disciples watched Jesus model what it was to pray. If anyone could get by without praying, you would think it would be the incarnate God come in the person of humanity, fully God, fully human. Why would he waste the time to pray? But he modeled for them and for us. In fact, they asked him as they saw him pray, would you teach us to pray? Even as John taught his disciples to pray. And I hope the text is open before you in the 11th chapter of Luke as we look to this for our message of this morning. I'd like first for us to look at how prayer does really help. Most of us are familiar with the five kinds of prayer. And I will enumerate them for you, but I'm sure you've heard them before. But I would like to put the twist on each of these as to see how each of these does really help. The first kind of prayer is the prayer of adoration. How great thou art. As we lift ourselves into the presence of the numinous, the sense of the holy otherness of God, the Creator. And also we celebrate his involvement in life where we live it as the sustainer. And through his incarnation, the person of Jesus Christ, and through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It helps for us to see the grandeur of the personal God who yearns to be in contact with us. When his disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, he started off, he said, when you pray, this is verse 2, say what? Father. What? You got the Bible open there? Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Ann and I, back in the early 70s, went up to the Kennedy Space Center for a lunar shot that went off at night, supposedly, and we sat there in the bleachers. The countdown went from 30 to 29 to 28 to 27, got down to about 11, and was suspended. Something had gone wrong. And what had been an awesome moment of anticipation became sort of 2 or 3 hours of just casual conversation as people began to come out of the bleachers. Some of the prominent people of Washington, some average people from that area, people that were involved in aeronautics and space. And then we got word that the count was being renewed. 11, 10, 9, 8. And the ground beneath us began to rumble. And in the distance, we saw that fluorescent light as it expanded across the horizon. And then suddenly, the rockets fired, and off into space were catapulted 3 astronauts. And I wondered, what must it be like to be in that capsule, headed toward the moon? To see and experience much more of the universe than you and I experience, and yet to realize even that's only a fraction of God's creation. How great thou art, the prayer of adoration. And then there's the prayer of confession. You and I need the catharsis that comes from confession. And the reality is that when we pray our prayers of confession, it helps us to receive forgiveness and also reminds us to give forgiveness to others. Jesus said, when you pray, say, "And forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive." I know people that don't think of themselves as needing forgiveness. What I love about our Reformed worship is central to it is the prayer of confession and the assurance of pardon, where we acknowledge there are things we've done this week as followers of Jesus we should not have done. There are things we've left undone that we could have and should have done. And there may be things that we did that were right that maybe our attitude was wrong. And it's important for us to keep close accounts with the Lord, and what a privilege it is to have the help that comes from forgiveness. 1 John says that anyone who thinks you're without sin deceives oneself. But if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from most of our unrighteousness, but all of our unrighteousness. The privilege of forgiveness, so helpful, and to be forgiving of others. And then there's that third kind of prayer, and that's thanksgiving. What a privilege it is to have that encouragement of spirit that stops long enough to count one's blessings. We have Thanksgiving Day. And so we're required once a year to stop and give thanks. But by the time we're done with the turkey dinner and all the chemical effects on that, we space out into slumber and nap, overeating and so forth. And I wonder if we really do understand the privilege we have of the many blessings of God. We tend to function as entitled people, don't we? Have you this morning stopped to think of what it would be like to not be able to breathe deeply? Take a deep breath right now. Now exhale. Take another deep breath. I know some with emphysema that can't do that. It's hooked up to oxygen. Would give anything just to have done what you just did. Food on the table for breakfast. Shelter. There are many in this world that do not have these basic things that we take so for granted. I have an exercise I like to do occasionally, and that's to take an 8 by 11 sheet of paper and draw a line right down the middle and put positives and negatives, pros and cons, things that are blessings and things that are from which I'm not very grateful in my life. I've discovered as I do that, I get a perspective on things. The list of the negatives is the one that I tend to do first. And boy, I get them down real fast. Those 3, 4, 5 items that just consume me. And then I run out of items. The other list starts a little more slowly, but it builds. And it goes faster as the little things that are the big things, and the big things that aren't quite as big when you see them in the perspective of the little things that are, a glass of fresh water. I can take you as World Vision and other relief organizations to villages around this world where the girl child walks a mile or two to a polluted stream to bring back a canister of polluted water that they drink and cook with, just to have a bottle or a glass of fresh water. The privilege, the exhilaration of a spirit of thanksgiving, does prayer really help? It helps tremendously just in the therapy that comes from seeing that there's one who's the creator, I'm creature. The one who's the forgiver, and I'm the one who needs forgiveness. And the privilege of thanksgiving, intercession, helps plug me into the needs of others. I have a friend who told me he prays for me every day at 7:15. That was so touching for me to realize that. I have a mother who's 96. She'll be 97 in October. Every day I know she prays for my sister Miriam and me and her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren. What a privilege of interceding for other people to think outward instead of just gnarled up about my own issues. I love that passage from Philippians, and I mentioned at the early two services, and a number have mentioned at the door how important it is. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Which brings us then to the fifth kind of prayer, not just the praying for other people, but praying for the needs, your needs, specific needs. It helps remind me that I have all the promises of God's Word available. You have them too. Jesus says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given you, search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for you, for everyone who asks receives. And everyone who searches finds, and for everyone that knocks, the door will be open. We are to bring everything to God in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. Well, let's look for a moment at some of the attitudes with which we can approach this in prayer, how to pray. Remember that God is your parent, your Father. Some of us have good relationships with our fathers, some not so good. Think of the best father of which you can think, and what a privilege it is. And Jesus says it specifically here. He puts it in these terms. He says, is there anyone among you? Verse 11, if your child asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake instead. That'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it? Goes on to say, if the child asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Come to him as Father. Come to him as a friend. We've already that magnificent solo. What a friend we have in Jesus. Come to him as a friend and talk to him as a friend. You don't have to come with fancy prayers. The problem with us preachers is we, in preparing our prayers in advance, which is a good thing, can intimidate you into thinking that's the way you pray. That's the way you pray in public. But there's even a danger of praying that way in public. There were two elderly women who were walking out of a Boston cathedral, and one said to the other, wasn't that the most magnificent prayer ever prayed to a Boston congregation? Think that through. Is that to whom we pray? The congregation? Well, sometimes we do. We want to be blessed for our oratory, but no, our prayers are to be straightforward to God as a friend, and there's a privilege of priming for prayer. We talked last week about the Bible. I won't repeat that sermon, but there was one thing I meant to say last week, and that is one thing you need to avoid. We mentioned reading the Bible through and planned perhaps lectionaries, but I hope that at some point in your life, and with some degree of frequency, you take the challenge to read the Bible all the way through. Two chapters in the Old Testament, one in the New a day, you can get through in a year. I like the one-year Bible, and as I mentioned last week, I've downloaded it onto my Kindle and carry it with me. And in the process, I get through the entire Old Testament, the New Testament, the Psalms twice, and the book of Proverbs. And I look for something for that day. This morning, in my own personal devotions, I was way back in 2 Chronicles for the Old Testament reading, and I've read these verses probably 25, 30 times that they never registered before. It says there, "For a long time Israel was without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when, in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, he was found by them." That's a powerful text. I wish I was still not retired, and I got to do a sermon on that someday. That's a terrific passage there. The danger is the happenstance way with which some of us go to Scripture. We need an answer and we just sort of close the Bible and open it and put our finger down at a text. Now that worked for me once. I was dating a girl who lived in Philadelphia. I was leading a tour through Europe and the Middle East for 35 days. It was to meet at the old Idlewild Airport. This is back in 1959. And I was to meet the people at 9 o'clock in the morning. The flight was to leave at, I think it was 11 o'clock in those days. You didn't have security and everything the way we do now. And we were headed off for 35 days, and I assumed I'd catch the 7 o'clock flight from Philadelphia to New York, which I did, never even thinking about going up the night before. And I got to the airport, boarded the plane. We arrived in the New York area. And the most amazing sight, you could see the skyscrapers above the clouds. But the clouds had settled in. And we circled for about 20, 25 minutes, the captain saying, "We cannot land in Idlewild. We may have to go back to Philadelphia, but I'm going to take a couple more turns here and see." Made the turn. By this time, I am profusely perspiring. I am desperately angry at myself. How could I get myself into this? I am beginning to pray like I had never prayed before. These people would not have a leader. How would they ever get on this trip? How would I ever get with them and so forth? And I did everything I preach against. I closed the Bible and I said, "Lord, give me a verse." And I opened and the verse in the Psalms, "The Lord causeth the vapors to ascend from the face of the earth." I said, "I claim that, Lord." The captain said, "I'm so sorry. We're headed back to Philadelphia. We will provide ground transportation. We can have all of you in New York by this afternoon." And I felt that plane move and head south when suddenly he came back on. He said, "I can't believe what's happened." He said, "There's a path through the clouds. We'll be on the ground in 5 minutes," and we landed. But that's the last time I ever did that. I said, "God, I ask you to forgive me for the stupidity of my life that was not prepared for bailing me out of this situation, because the other fellow, you've heard about him, the fellow that did that, and he opened the Bible and he put his finger down and said, and Judas went out and hanged himself." So he said, "I got to try that one again. This way, very, very carefully. Go thou and do likewise." The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Every sermon is heresy to some extent. It takes a truth and lifts it up. We do need the whole counsel of God's Word. And part of the pump priming for prayer is to be a person of the book and a person who is in the Word of God. I've never seen anything written on the skies. I've never heard the voice of God. I've often you know, thought it would probably sound like a fellow by the name of Lloyd Ogilvie. Some of you know of him, or maybe off we get to heaven. Hello, welcome to heaven. I don't know, but anyway, I shouldn't get off on that. You can pray at any time, any circumstances, walking in your closet, on your knees, in a car. I had a friend, I was staying at the airport one time in Miami. He had all kinds of romantic issues, and he was a seminary friend of mine who was headed off. And I said, well, why don't we pray about that? And he said, oh, that'd be wonderful. And we're driving down the freeway, and suddenly I come to an off-ramp, and I'm up that. And suddenly he looked at me scared to death, and maybe I closed my eyes too. You can pray under all circumstances. Journaling is one of the best ways. When the heaven seems as brass to me, I get out a piece of paper or a journal, and I just say, Dear Jesus, the heavens feel like brass. I'm not articulating very well. I've got this issue, and I talk about them. And help me, Lord, to and just write a letter to God. That's a wonderful way of prayer. Praying the Psalms is another way. When you feel you're into a routine and just praying the same thing every day, just to open the Psalms and pray through one of the Psalms and think and meditate on the particular passage that you have before you, phrase by phrase. But what about unanswered prayer? The Bible says there are hindrances to prayer. Our prayers can be blocked. Impatience, unconfessed sin in one's life, an unforgiving spirit. Lusting after things, not just sexual lust, but we pray in order, the scripture says, to consume it on our own lusts. How important it is to just see prayer not as a entitlement, but as the privilege of moving beyond ourselves. That's why those five kinds of prayer dealt with basically in that order is helpful. A defective home life. If I'm the one that is creating disturbance in my home, I need to get that straightened out with the Lord. Actually, though, every prayer is answered. And the simple little three-point outline to that, you know. One, the answer is yes. As I look back on life, most of my prayers have been answered in the positive way. But not all of them. And I tend to remember the second kind of answer. And what's that? No. I probably shouldn't say this, but I did it the first two services. Back in 1971 and 72, you had a pastoral search committee. They approached me. I was one of 150. And they got down to 50, and then to 25, and then to 10, and then to 5, and then multiple interviews up here, down in Florida, and then to 4, to 3, to 2. And they invited Dr. Lewis Evans, my wife's pastor as a young girl, to come and preach at Fourth Presbyterian Church on one Sunday, along with his wife to be with him, Coke Evans. Invited Ann and me to come up and preach at Church of the Pilgrim. And then the third week, they were to vote. They voted. And they called Louis. I was devastated. Just devastated. Now, I can see why. I wouldn't get to be here today if I had started way back then. 38 years ago, I've never had a call that I've wanted. And I've been happy everywhere I've been. The things I've wanted, I think God knew I wouldn't be able to handle. And the things that He wanted for me were the places that were best. When He says no, He usually knows what He's doing. Now, the one that I struggle with is the loss of my daughter in 1991 to cancer. And that will always be a question. Why did she not live when the daughters of others who were prayed for do sometimes? But I have to trust Him to know that His no is better than what I would want. And I can rationalize and say she's healed, she's in the presence of Jesus Christ, but we still miss her. So there'll be some questions we'll never get answered in this life. But I've got to trust him that he knows when to say yes, he knows when to say no, and he knows when to say wait. There have been some issues. One thing I prayed for some 6 years, from age 23 to 29, something that was a crisis in the life of my family, and nothing seemed to happen. I can look back on that now and see God in it. Through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus. I learned to trust in God. What a privilege. Don't let feelings fool you. Feelings can confuse you and me. And then I love the way Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed, as it were, great droplets of blood. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, what? Not my will, but thine be done. In his humanity, he yearned to be set free of what was coming ahead, and yet ultimately wanted God's will. I love the way Abraham Lincoln dealt with it during the Civil War. They asked him now, isn't it great to be on God's side? Have God on your side. And he said, no, that's not the issue, whether God's on our side. The question is whether we're on God's side. It's so important for us to be open in our prayers. Let me conclude by just a few quick comments here. Some final reasons to pray. One, because God tells us to. Pray without ceasing. He instructs us to pray because we are privileged to have conversation with God. If the White House sent an invitation from the president and it's waiting for you when you get home today for dinner on Thursday night, no matter what your political party would be and how you feel about him, whoever is president, you'd be honored, wouldn't you, to have an invitation. But the God of the universe, the invitation is there daily in how casually we treat it, because he puts us on the same wavelength with him in prayer. Real conversation, because prayer is the key to true spirituality, and because prayer gets us outside of ourselves. Does it help to pray? You answer the question when you see it in the context of God's teaching in his word. Dear God, thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for the opportunity to talk person to person with you. Thank you that you are a loving and listening God who has told us how much you want to be in conversation with us. Help us to be men and women of authentic prayer. Honest with ourselves and with you. In Jesus' name, amen.